This is 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair. The ongoing coronavirus pandemic continues to take a toll on public health and on the economy. Most everyone agrees there needs to be more investment and relief money put into the pot by the federal government. Debbie Dingell is 12th District Congressional Representative, which includes portions of Washtenaw County. And thank you for the time today.
Good morning, David. It's always good to start my Friday with you.
Well, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has said she will keep representatives in Washington until such time a deal is made. So are you in Washington or are you home in Dearborn?
I'm in Washington. I'll come home next weekend, but I'll be here through at least next Friday. And we'll keep coming back, David, until we do get something. Even the president said this week, Republicans need to put money into this.
And despite that, I think for many there is little hope of any stimulus or relief package getting passed until after the election, and with lame duck, that could push it into next year, if at all. So the back and forth between Republican and Democratic leadership and the White House administration all comes off to many as a lot of election year strategy. As a member of Congress, what can you say to a constituency with fading hope and increasing cynicism?
Well, I refuse to have fading hope because I think that there are too many people in my district and across the country that need help. They're the freshmen, problem solvers, of which I'm a member. A number of significant groups in the House are saying to the Speaker, we have to do something. Now, I will also say that whatever the something is has to include aid to state and local budgets, which the Republicans have been unwilling to move on. But it's my hope. And look, hope's eternal. You can't. That there are senators out there that are up for re-election, that are hearing from the same people that I'm hearing from, that say inaction is not acceptable. We're going to have a tricky week next week as we have to pass a continuing resolution to fund the government. And, you know, discussions keep going. So I would tell anybody listening here in Michigan or anywhere around the country, keep calling your legislators and tell them you need help.
You are a co-leader of a coalition that has now put forth a new economic renewal plan. It's being called the Thrive Agenda. Thrive being an acronym for Transform, Heal, and Renew by Investing in Vibrant Economy. What exactly does this agenda call for?
Well, this resolution is a combination of making sure that we're stimulating the economy, that we are taking care of the environment, that we're making sure that Americans have access to health care. And it's a bridge to, I mean, for me, what will hopefully be the election of President Biden, who will immediately do something to address COVID and try to bring the nation together instead of dividing it. And then we'll work and focus on manufacturing, the environment, and a number of and getting the economy going strong. And we'll have very real legislation. The first 90-day, 100-day agenda, if Joe Biden is elected president, is going to be a very aggressive policy agenda.
And if he's not elected?
Well, I guess I can't accept that at this point, David. I'm so worried about how divided this nation is. I'm really,
Does it become any less divided if Joe Biden is elected?
Yes, because I think Joe Biden will work to bring everybody together. I think Joe Biden realizes that he is president of these United States, and he is president of everybody. I have always believed that when someone's elected president, they're my president, and President Trump is my president. But he has not worked to bring people together. He puts kerosene on fires, dividing this country, dividing us with fear and hatred. And quite frankly, we're getting ready to go into a fall and winter again of increased COVID. And if he would just wear a mask. We heard Dr. Redmond, the head of CDC today, say that wearing masks could be more effective than a vaccine. We need to wear a mask. How has wearing a mask become such a political issue in the United States of America?
Well, there's a couple of things we can talk about on that front, and we shall. Our conversation with 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell continues on 89.1 WEMU. As you mentioned, Dr. Redfield publicly stated wearing masks could ultimately be more effective than a vaccine. And then there was a conversation with President Trump, and Dr. Redfield kind of walked back his statement. Tradition has been to allow agencies like the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, to operate independently and accept the science it presents as a tool to inform and design public health and safety standards and policy. Is it time to, and is it possible to, legislate the CDC's independence, absent of White House and congressional interference?
It's one of the things that we're looking at for next year. We shouldn't be withdrawn from the World Health Organization. There are a lot of very disturbing things that, quite frankly, are going to have a significant impact on public health. I think you've heard all of these doctors, not just Dr. Redfield, but Tony Fauci, Francis Collins, who's head of the NIH, Dr. Brix, who's head of the White House Task Force on COVID. Everybody has said, the Surgeon General, Dr. Grumpy, have all said, wear your mask. So I don't get why, when we know the science, not only in the United States, but around the world, is we're learning. COVID is a new disease. We've just learned, we learn more about this virus every day. But doctors worldwide, the top scientists in the world, say wear a mask. It prevents spread. Why are we making that political?
Well, along those political lines, Attorney General William Barr was addressing folks at Hillsdale College here in Michigan this week and likened COVID-19 emergency orders as the single greatest intrusion on civil liberties since slavery. Unfortunately, not everyone finds that offensive and dangerous. Can there be a formal rebuke from those in Congress who do view it as that way?
I think that what we have to do, I'm trying to, you know, one of the things, David, that I've really noticed, every day somebody's mad at me. Every day somebody's screaming at me. And it's on both sides. We have to find, people are scared. They are angry. They are frustrated. They are anxious. But do you remember 9/11? And how scared we were then, mm-hmm. but how we came together. We took that fear and those passions, and we pulled together as a community. We have to do that. There's such a thing as the public good. I mean, we learned that a long time ago, and we're forgetting about what that public good, that common good is. And somehow we need to remember what the strength of democracy is. It's that sense of community. I mean, even Dan Coats, former Republican senator, ambassador, and head of Homeland Security, says that this election is about this experiment of American democracy, and it's in danger.
Well, we have aspirations to be the greatest country on the planet, and at times we have thought we were. We are talking with Debbie Dingell. She is 12th District Congresswoman, and this is 89.1 WEMU. But, you know, sometimes we get shown exactly who we are, and we're taking a real close look at that these days. There have been some rather awful reports on some items at the federal level, and that includes some involving ICE or Immigration and Customs Enforcement. More reports have come out about deplorable conditions in detention centers, a lack of proper protocols to prevent the spread and treatment of COVID-19, and even more disturbing is that ICE has allowed forced or unwanted hysterectomies on a good number of female detainees. Why are things happening like this in the United States?
Because people aren't paying attention. That was a whistleblower report this week. We were able to get a letter with 178 signatures out within 12 hours demanding an investigation. There'll be judiciary hearings next week. But I want people to think about this in America. Those women, I mean, it was in Georgia. It was at a private detention center in Georgia. Women's uteruses and ovaries were removed. They were sterilized. Does that remind people of concentration camps? We are still humanitarians. We have to watch out for each other. We cannot turn a blind eye to what's happening. We can have discussions. We can disagree. We can have different perspectives. But sterilizing women, I would hope that would awaken the conscience of every American throughout this country.
Well, one of the major complaints about ICE is there is a lack of proper oversight, and it's able to function without much interference, regardless of its methodologies. And while the demands for investigations are appropriate and hopefully will move forward, why have we gotten to this point without the kind of oversight that may have prevented this to begin with?
Well, we've had a problem for 4 years. We do attempt to do oversight, and most of this is now taken to the courts. You win in the court sometimes. You don't win in the court sometimes. But every time you do win in the court, it's then appealed to another court, and much of this is sitting in the courts. This administration, you know, we have three. Our forefathers were brilliant when they wrote the Constitution. There are three equal branches of government, and the executive branch Congress has a responsibility for oversight of the executive branch. This president simply doesn't think that he is accountable. And that's one of the things that people need to think about when they walk into the poll on election day. Is there accountability, or do you just want to see this government run amok?
That's your perspective. There is about half the country who thinks this is exactly the way the president should be acting, and they support the manner in which he is going about his business.
Well, I respectfully don't, and I do believe that the executive branch should be accountable, and I would hope that there are a whole lot of things that the American people are worried about what is happening, quite frankly.
Representative Dingell, as always, I thank you for the time and for addressing us here on 89.1 WEMU, and we'll talk again next Friday.
Thank you, David.
That is 12th District U.S. Representative Debbie Dingell. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti, your community NPR station, celebrating 55 years of broadcasting to Washtenaw County and beyond.